بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. مولانا عبد الرحيم صاحب رايپوري رحمه الله عليه، سيسفا الشيخ also شاه عبد الرحيم صاحب. After he had passed on, so he had made rujoo to Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah. So for some reason, Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah had called me, and this was something urgent. So there is the river, like you saw in Raipur. The big river, big stream, and when the rains are on, so the rivers are also quite dangerous. So Maulana Puri Sahib Rahmatullahi, accompanied by his khadim, so he told his khadim, "See what you're going to do now, just keep it between us, don't ever divert this." So he put his mat over the water and he sailed across. as he arrived at Sango, and before he could say anything, Allah Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi told him, "Keh do in sahirin ko ki yahan par koi jagah nahi. Magicians, there's no place for them here. We would have thought it to be a big karamat. Just put the carpet over the water and sailed across." Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi did not recognize this nor endorse this. "Keh do in sahirin ko ke yahan par unki koi jagah nahi." So someone asked Mawlana Raipuri Sahib, "Okay, what difference you found in the first sheikh and the second sheikh?" So he says, "In the second sheikh I found ke hubbeja ka sar qalam paya. I found that this love for name, recognition, I found that to be cut off complete. Head is cut off, finished, dead, finished." So there's many approaches to the tasawwuf, right? What our elders say, the quickest approach, expedite and to complete this very, very quickly, easiest and the quickest, is two things. One is to bring abdiyat, you know, hubbeja, to remove that. Everybody wants some recognition, wants some name. It's natural amongst people, right? And the second thing they found to be most expedient on this road is the adherence to the sunnah. So one, to remove that crave for fame, and the second, the adherence to the sunnah. But now all this has to be done with a high level of adab. So there's going to be people, there's going to be senior to you, whether it's your sheikh, whether other senior people in the silsila, or people that are equal to you. To show respect to a senior is quite easy. "He's my senior, so I show respect to him." But to show respect to a contemporary, someone that is equal to you, that's a difficult thing. To show a little bit of consideration to the one that is lower than you, that also is quite easy, because the mind feels, "See, I got so much of tawazu, as big as I am, but I'm respecting, I've got consideration for the junior." So the mind plays games. So in our silsila these things happen. They try and cut it off as much as possible. Anything, wherever they find a small indication of jah, recognition. The mind and the person doesn't want to be tied down. Right? Any person wants to be free. And the path to progress requires you to be tied down. Oh, why must be tied down? Everything I have to ask, do this, follow procedure. So the mind wants to have its own run. Run and run freely. I am not answerable to anybody. I am free, I can do what I want. So that's what the man wants. And that's how man is born. Born with freedom. Right? And he wants to remain free. But he doesn't realize the place for freedom is the akhirah. Someone wanted to chat with Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. So, Mulana was at that time so occupied in his work. He didn't want to hear anything besides deen and the figure for deen, nothing. To the extent some people came from his hometown, Kandla, he came when he was quite serious. So, Mulana was upset. They came to see him when he was quite serious. Right? He says to them that tabiyat theek ho ya na theek ho to usme kaun si bari baat ho gayi. Ye to dunya ka dastoor hai. For feeling well or feeling well, it's not a big deal. That this is normal, acceptable. Figure iski ye figure honi chahiye. You need to have that quality ke how to get the heart of Rasulullah SAW pleased. And only through the fikr, the effort that is required, the desired effort, then I see the heart of the Nabi SAW being pleased. In the meanwhile, I must understand who Muhammad Ilyas Sahib was. I heard from his students that worked with him. Mulana was Sahib Huzuri. Whenever he wanted to see Rasul-e-Qasim, he would see it. He was at that maqam. So don't think he's an ordinary person. But he didn't reveal these things. But now, these people here, the whole style was, they just kept themselves subjected to the elders. As long as Al-Mawad bin Goyi Sahib Rahmatullah is around, so you're making rujoo to him. You don't move one inch this way, not one inch that way. Then after he passed on, then he had referred to Al-Mawad Sahar and Puri Sahib Rahmatullahi. So you saw Al-Mawad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi at that level, where he wanted to see Rasulullah SAW, he would see him straight, right? But did you see the training he went through? Did he keep himself azad and free? We would like to see the end. But the pains and the difficulties that he went through, did you see that as well? So the nafs wants that azadi. It doesn't want to be in chains. Therefore, Shaykh Hamdai should say, that jo hamare futuhat ke zamane ko dekhe, to wo to nakam hai. Aur jo hamare mujahada ibtidai zamana ko dekhe, wo kamyab hai. The one that sees us at the end, he is a failure. Because when he sees that at the end, then there's so much of khidmat being done. This one is making khidmat, that one is making khidmat. This person is bringing some gift, that one is bringing some gift. And things are carrying on. You're going somewhere, so they want you to make dham. And if a child is born, they want you to make tahniq. Pass your hand over this plant, this person here. Make dua. Let's come to our house of barakah sake. So that is futuhat ka zamana. Now a time when everything is opening out for you. So now you're seeing the buzurg at that time when things are opening out for you. But if you see the person at the beginning when he went through the difficulty of mujahada, the Shaykh says that you've seen that as a failure. But you've seen the difficulty, that phase of difficulty, then you are a winner. The beginning was such. Look at Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi. We just think that, oh, you know, this one buzuk finished. No, it wasn't like that. His son, that was the second Amir of Jamaat, Muhammad Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullahi. So once Mawlana entered the house, Muhammad Yusuf must have been about 5 or 6 years of age. Small, 4 or 5 years of age. There was nothing to eat. And what Muhammad Yusuf Sahib was doing at that time, that container that had the flour was scraping the walls to make it into a paste and just to satisfy himself. That was his theory. Mawlana saw this and he couldn't control himself. He went to sajda for a long, long time, and thereafter he announced that inshallah within these 4 walls there will never be hunger. The hunger came to such a point that he announced amongst the students, "See, I don't want you to remain here because of me. See, I'm going through this because of me, and you are going to be suffering. I don't want that. Rather go home." So those students also were so straight. He said, "See, Hazrat, our life and death is together. You are going through this, you will go through it. Prosperity and adversity will be with you." As Mustafa Rahman explained once, came Mullah's one cousin from Kandla, Ramzan time now, and he thought, "Let me go to Nizamuddin, he's a big buzrug, so the dastarkhan will be nice and laid out, thick, nice and laid out, all varieties and all that." So he came with high expectations. Relatives, they have that little bit of informality. They came there. Now, iftar time, the only thing that was being served is gular, a type of a wild fig. That's the only thing that was being served. He planned to stay there for 3 days and enjoy all the varieties. But the next day, he says to Mawlana, "Mujhe kuch kaam hai, I got some work, I need to go." Mawlana said, "Don't rush. Stay one more day, and you can leave tomorrow." That day, the plow, everything came out. So whatever he lost the previous day, he covered up. Right. But you see the difficulty that he went through. So don't see him at the end and then say, alright, you know, this was his end, and we must have also that. We must also have that. See what he went through. The difficulty, the pains. Mustafa Rahmatullahi accompanied Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi with a mountainous terrain. You know. Rocky, mountainous terrain. As they came up, there was a little bit of a hut there. So there was one charpai. Charpai is like a bed, like a portable bed. Simple portable bed. So Mustafa said, Rahmatullahi, we saw there was one bed. We insisted that as Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi must rest in that. So as Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rested, and in the meanwhile the townspeople got to know that as Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib has come. What is it? Rocky terrain. Rocky terrain. And on that occasion, Mawlana's cousin or his uncle, one has to call him Mamu, perhaps because of his age or because of the relative relationship. So he saw that this was a rocky terrain, and that uncle was grasping for breath. So to comfort him, he says, "Mamu, think about the Sahaba Kiram, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what difficulties they went through. It's one kajur in water, and they run walking. For days they are walking. temperature is 45, 50 degrees, right? Tabuk expedition, whilst the khajur is getting ripe, right? And the khajur gets ripe, it's about 45, 50 degrees. So in the sweltering heat they are walking. So think about that. In the meanwhile, they got Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi resting. And when he's resting, and then the townspeople just got to know that Maulana is here, and they're coming in droves. So, Sahib knows now that Maulana is tired. He walked up a very, very steep, mountainous terrain. He's tired. It won't be right now that he gets up and meets them. It's very worse now. So he asked those people, but just wait, Maulana just caught in. He's resting. And so in the meanwhile, Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi picked it up. So, Muftiji, roko mat aane do. What? Roko mat aane do. Don't stop them, let them come. Each one, he embraced them. All villagers, simple people. But he embraced them with a lot of respect and consideration. And after he settled with them, then he says to Mustafa Tari, therefore, Talib ko kuch kehne ka haq nahi. Jab tak ke wo aapki juti ko chapaki na samjhe. You haven't got the right to see, to shout anybody. When it's a murid or something, or a student, and he's come to learn, came for purification, came for correction. So, at which point you correct the person? Jab aapki juti ko chapati samjhe. You're still starting now. The jamaat now is just starting now. You can't straight away get you. So this is wrong, this is right. He just linked up in the jamaat now, first time in his life. He's wearing earrings and necklace and punk hair and torn jeans I was wearing. Right? So that's how he came in. And straight away you say, he's haram, it's not right. You don't do that, don't have that. Understand the background, where he came from, and now he's linked up here. So that's the talib, see? He came in now. Where he came from, where he was, and where he is now. Right? That's why, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. Under this ayat, there's a hadith that some people were seated in the masjid, and they were engaged in zikr or Quran Sharif, whatever, and Rasulullah came and sat himself with them. Now, learning Quran Sharif, so the basics of deen, they're learning. And Rasulullah is seated amongst them. So, when he's seated amongst them, so the halat is such that no one has a proper attire. Just something to cover himself. Main parts, just the private areas. From the neighbor to the neighbor. That's the only cloth that he owns, nothing else. And others got cloth, but also not enough. So they're sitting, crouching, so that their bodies may not show out. And the Sule person is making shukar, Alhamdulillah, I have been commanded to sit with this type of people. They don't have anything, and still they have got that zeal for knowledge. In spite of their poverty, in spite of their straitened circumstances, but they still got the zeal and that longing for knowledge. So I have been commanded to sit with them. So if we have to go, right, to Westville from Slanga, we all go for a joyride, right? With Ikram, which will happen, right? But say someone, tomorrow the Jamaat is going Amlazi. This week I'm busy. Could put me on next week. Full well? Hey, Ma, please, man. Just be considerate. But who we ask to be sitting with this type of people? Poor, down to earth, they don't have anything. So it is the easiest to work with them. It's the easiest to work with them. The وَمَا نَرَاكَ اتَّبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَهُمْ أَرَاذِينُنَا بَعْدِيَ الرَّعِي. So one of the complaints the people had against Nuh alayhi salam was, you are following the very mean of society. People that are downtrodden. That is a class of people that follow you. So how do you expect us to sit with this type of people? So Nuh alayhi salam says, Ma ana bi taridil mu'minin. I'm not going to chase away these people here. Allahu a'lamu bihim. Allah Ta'ala knows about them, what's in their hearts, etc. That's not for me to see. Allah Ta'ala knows. In isabhum illa ala rabbi. Allah Ta'ala will take them to account for whatever they are. So Muhammad Ilyas Sahib is explaining, Talib ko kuch kehne ka haq nahi. The person just came out, he just joined in Jamaat. One is person that is old, understanding, and he's settled in Jamaat, they will correct him. And one that is new, then there's an approach. The one that is old in Jamaat. The one is just coming. When he's just coming, then how are we going to take him? Inko kuch kehne ka haq nahi. You don't tell him anything. After which point, then you start teaching him and instructing him. You start instructing him at which point? Jabke aapki juti ko chapati na samjhe. He begins to take your shoes with honor and respect. How he'll hold, take the shoe and keep it on his head. You hold him with so much of respect. When you see that type of respect, now it's the time to talk to him, to correct him. But straight away. So that is why people like us, there isn't any proper khanqa nowadays, right? So the islah has to be done. And I told you that the islah is the shackle, see, shackle and the chain. And what we want freedom. We don't want to be shackled, we don't want to be chained, right? So for us, people like us, to get that islah done, then sometimes go for 3 days, someone can manage it, 10 days, 20 days, and insist that you will not be the Amir. Because then if you're the Amir, then you're going to make it to your satisfaction. You were in a position of commanding the madrasa, wherever you were, and now again you are in a position of commanding. So is there anyone over you? You're the boss here. Jamaat also is the boss. So is there anybody over you? There's one Durban, quite wealthy person, very, very wealthy person. I think Durban's 7-8 wealthiest persons. So I told him, you know, Chacha, it's good for you, you must go in Jamaat. He listens to me, go in Jamaat. So they put him in Cape Town Jamaat. Came back, was a Kalguzari like, said, Bolana, I hold my ears, I'll never go in again. What happened? So what happened there was that, he says, now he's a businessman and he's a boss all the time. So what happened? So people will get up after Fajr, perhaps someone will rest. Then 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, they'll get up. They'll do the washing and they'll let the clothing dry. So they let the clothing dry. As they let the clothing dry, it's about 11 o'clock and everything is dried off. 11 o'clock, half past 11, 1 o'clock will be namaz, right? So one of the, he says to the Capetonian, you see the clothing is dry, it's on the line, then you take it out. So these people are very straight, right? See, when you're going Jamaat, it's nice to be mixed up. Only your own friends, you know him, He knows you, tally, tally, nobody is correcting. You're not getting any correcting. But you're getting someone that is not familiar, that both could sunnah parta hai. You have to humble yourself, correct yourself. So I told him, it's not on your way, you just sit down. You know about that, it's not on your way. I told the charger, that's why I sent you, see, because in your business you're the boss, right? You are used to instructing. In the Jamaat, what I wanted that someone would instruct you. So it balances off, you know. You average out, you balance up. Like you're always in the boss, the bossing position, and there's nobody to tell you, then where is your Islam going to take place? See? So our Chishtiya Silsila, you're looking at real Islam, see. One is now, it's become a customary thing. Islam is like a customary thing. And nobody is really working towards correction. What people have felt now, just make some zikr, all that, and shake your head, Islam is done. One shot, you go one shot. Now, in the real Islam, they cut you to size. See, like how you get these trees, fruit trees and all, right? Especially in the grape trees. So you have to prune it well. For that thing's growth, you need to prune it. So every now and then that thing will be overgrown. Again, you go and cut that thing. Grows up again. Again, trim it down. So you have to relate to your elder, and he has to cut you down all the time. And if you don't cut you down, then there'll be only leaves, there'll be hardly any fruit. Ma bihil matlub will be nothing, and ma bihil arz, and the thing is this, just by the way, that will be covering the whole tree. And what the actual objective, that will be lost. So you need to be pruned down all the time. Corrected, shouted, that shackle that you had, that shackle must remain. It mustn't go off your neck. Al-Mawad Hamid Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. One Nawab. Nawab is like a ultra wealthy. Not wealthy, but ultra wealthy. One is wealthy, one is ultra wealthy. One is like a billionaire, wealthy. One is multi-billionaire. So that's Nawab. So wealthy now. So one Nawab Sahib is in that bracket, right? So he says to the Mawthami Sahib Rahmatullahi that I plan to come to the Khanqah, and for this time that I'm going to come into the Khanqah, then I'm not going to have any khadim, I'll do all my own khidmat. See, the Mullah's reply to him is, aap yahan par aane chahte ho aur apne nawabi ko lekar ke aane chahte ho. You're coming in here as a boss. You're going to boss us, how are you going to live? We will tell you how to live. You're not going to tell us, we will tell you how to live. See, they cut it off. Aap aaye aur ek khadim ko bhi saath le aaye. You come and you bring along one khadim as well. Because now, you can imagine now that person is a multi-billionaire, right? So what his lifestyle is like. At any given time, you see in India, like about 50 years ago, we saw, right? So you saw India then, right? Then one person got about 5 khadims, 10 khadims, right? Then that's an ordinary person, got 5 khadim. Then this ultra wealthy, how many khadim he got? So now if he comes in here without a khadim, his nafs will play games with him. His nafs will say, see how pious I am, how humble I am. May I do all my things myself. I attend to my own things myself. So won't he become a victim of his nafs? But now if he's got one khadim with him, then the nafs won't be playing games with him. Yeah, you came here and you were a khadim also. So you're not as humble as these people here. The rest of the people, they do their own work. And you are a khadim. So you don't have the level of humility that they got. So now for him, his situation was better. that he comes with a Echad. So this nafs has to be chopped down all the time. And we think, no, we got it right, I got it right. But that thing takes a long time. آخر ما يخرج عن قلوب الصديقين حب الجاه. The last thing to come out is this. So let me take 30 years, 40 years for that thing just to get flushed out. But we think one shot will just come out. You know, the other day I was explaining, ذُرِّيَّةَ مَنْ حَمَلْنَا مَعَنُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. So the idea is to gain the proximity of Allah Ta'ala. But the path is to become abd and shakur. What? How are you going to get the proximity? Intending proximity with pleasure. But what is the path? See, now you said ghayat. One is gharz and ghayat, right? And one is mawzu. So what is the mawzu? Abd and shakura. So the ghayat is the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Right? Proximity of Allah. That's the whole idea. But what's the road? The road is abd and shakur. To be thankful at any given time, and to be humble, respectful and humble at any time. For that occasion, what the humility, what respect requires for that occasion. Masjid requires a certain adab, right? Humility. Right? So different places and different people, there is a different level of adab. Right? It's your mother, a different level of adab. Don't you show a different level of adab? It's your daughter, show her some adab and consideration, but at a different level. Then it's your sister, then also show some adab and respect, but at a different level. Then it's your aunt, show some respect as well, but different levels. See? So all are shown adab, but according to the maqam, martaba, you're showing it, you're displaying it. See? So to show respect with humility, abdiyat. At any given time, any given moment, but that, so what that occasion and place, what type of adab is required, to display it, and it must become like natural. You don't have to think about it. Like coming to a masjid, how do I come? So the adab, there is a humility that is supposed to be shown, how must it be shown? So I was explaining to the person, see, Quran Sharif got an adab, right? Like you see, all our old people, right? Old aunties, 80, 90 years of age, and the adab they will show. They have a pillow, they have 3-4 gilaf, chisid, and they place it, and they start reciting, right? So that means that Quran Sharif deserves some type of an exclusive treatment, right? It's above all other kitabs, so some exclusivity is required to be shown to the Quran Sharif. Now, you're going to read the Quran Sharif from a phone, you will not say that the recitation is not done. But I ask you, did you show that exclusivity to the Quran? Did you show it? Like, for example, now, it was your son's nikah, right? So you invited your parents also to attend, right? Now, when you invited them to come to the nikah, so do you seat them with a normal guest or some exclusive sitting? Exclusive sitting. Can't seat them, they'll eat the same food perhaps, but it's your parents, then you show them some exclusivity. So Quran Sharif, some type of exclusivity. Understand? So the masjid also some exclusivity, it's not an ordinary house. So in the masjid now, I will suggest that don't even bring the phone to the masjid. Forget switching it off. Right? Mawlana is too still reading namaz at home, you know. So now, they're imitating Mawlana Harun Sahib. One is the imam, one is the muqtadi. So he says, straighten yourselves, put off the phones. So he told Mullah cheered up also. But now, you have to go, you can't remain there. Now you go one step forward, don't even bring it to them. Because there's too much of ghaflat in people's minds. So no, I just totally forgot. So when you're going, coming to an exclusive place, show some exclusivity. This is the house of Allah Ta'ala. Some exclusive behavior that's befitting the respect of the masjid. Then you see what you take from the masjid. You display a level of behavior that is befitting the masjid, something exclusive. So you say, no, I'm coming to Allah Pak's house, no phones. So there's no mistakes at all then. You're going with that frame of mind. Ulaika ma kana lahum an yadkhuluha illa khaifin. See this ayat of the Quran. Ulaika ma kana lahum an yadkhuluha illa khaifin. So you showed an exclusive respect for the Quran Sharif. I showed you, right? The house of Allah Ta'ala, some exclusive respect. See, so according to the maqam, you show that respect. And then you see the anwarat that comes in. Allah Akbar for you.